The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planning professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's restaurant on 41 Cross Street. And boy, what a week we've had in the market. We thought the week before was tough. This week has even been a bit more challenging, both up and down. And joining me today in studio, because I thought we needed to have this continued conversation, my business partner, Marion Gilman. How are you doing this morning, Marion?
I'm good. How are you today, Mark?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for joining us. I know there's a lot of stuff going on, going around people's mind as you see the headlines of this past week. The market's dropping. What did it drop, like 1,200 points on Wednesday, I think it was, and
It was really a stressful day. Let's put it that way.
A stressful day for those that follow the market on a day-to-day basis. But I think one of the reasons why we wanted to do this show today, and one of the reasons that I brought you in is, you know, when we see these headlines and wild numbers and wild announcements and all sorts of things come out, it's very easy to get emotionally wrapped up in what's going on, and it's really our job to stay rational during these emotional times. And that's something I think we do really well, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. And that's very true. You know, you really need to step back and think about it and say, and as we've talked about on this show before as well, this, you know, when you're investing in stocks, when you're investing in the stock market, however you're doing that, it should be a long-term horizon that you have for that money.
Can we define long-term?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, when we look at long-term, we think of it as at least a 3 to 5 year horizon, and you're not going to need all of that money in 3 to 5 years. Some of it might go on for 10, 20 years. So, yes, you know, maybe you're going to need a small amount of it in the 1 to 3 year horizon, but that money is kept safer. And anything that you know you're going to need within 1 year, if you need to buy a new car, if you're buying a house, that money should be in cash, something safe, secure.
But it's not earning anything, Marion.
Yeah, exactly. It's not losing anything either, though, and that's the point.
Yeah, but the other argument on the other side is, yeah, but it is losing because inflation's at 8% right now.
Well, you could consider that as well. That's very true. On the other hand, you know what? There is nothing that is secure and guaranteed that will guarantee you an 8% rate of return that you can get 100% of your money back, at least not in my knowledge, that you can get 100% of that initial investment plus the 8% back after a one-year horizon, guaranteed.
Yeah, it's a challenge. I mean, because everybody tries to find a rationale for why they do things or why they don't do things. And oftentimes they compartmentalize the reasons that they do certain things. They justify this action. This one's a little bit different. And what we're trying to do as planners is really look at your financial situation from a 30,000 foot view. We want to see the cover of your box. We refer to the term sometimes, what's the most important piece when you're putting together a puzzle when it comes to doing financial planning? And the answer is the cover of the box. It's not the corners, it's not the edges, it's not the last piece, the black pieces, the red pieces, the white pieces. It's the cover of the box. So as we look and provide guidance and suggestions to you, we're looking at it from your big picture. The challenge is that many people choose to ignore their big picture, and they focus on just what I call slices in their financial life.
That's so very true. And when again, as planners, when we look at it, the investment piece of it, the actual putting the money to work in the stock and bond market, is actually just a slice of that pie, as you define it, Mark. And there are so many other factors that enter into a retirement planning puzzle or a, you know, for any cash flow projections. You want to be sure that you take into consideration everything that goes on in your life to get a true picture of your finances.
Yeah, because just to say that this particular investment went up so much percent, or your 401k is up, or I'm adding this much money to my investment portfolio, or I get this gift from grandma, or I received an inheritance, or I've got a wedding expense, whatever it is, if you just look at those things individually and not part of the whole big picture, you're fooling yourself. You're leading yourself down a path that contributes to this emotional anxiety that we're feeling because we're choosing to pick and choose the items we want to worry about.
That's so very true. And, you know, days like yesterday, days like Thursday, this past week in general, you look at the market and you say, oh my God, you know, look what happened. The market's down 1,200 points. And you extrapolate from there and you say, what if it keeps going? What if that keeps happening? And you're looking at one tiny little piece of what goes on in a lifetime of earning money, investing money, spending money, inheriting money, whatever it might be. So many ups and downs over the course of time. You've got to step back, look at that big picture.
Yeah, do you remember the days when, years ago, when you got your information and all of your news for the day at 6 o'clock? And that was it?
6 o'clock. And where'd you get that news?
On television, right?
Right,
you listened
exactly.
to Walter Cronkite or Peter Jennings or whomever it was, and you got your news that night. Or maybe it was your local news, and you got it once. And maybe you'd wake up in the morning and you'd watch the news in the morning with your morning coffee. But today, and your reactions and the water cooler conversations were based upon what you heard at 6 o'clock or at 7 o'clock that next morning.
And you know, at least I can't recall ever hearing about the futures, how the stock market was going to open up as you're driving to work. I hear that every day now.
Right.
The stock market futures are indicating down or up or whatever it might be by however many points. That was not even. That was unheard of, you know, 30 years ago.
They
had ticker tapes.
That's right, they had ticker tapes. But even going back to the 70s or 80s, before we even had this access to, you know, second-to-second information, worldwide information, and I think we all sit around and we say, we used to be able to trust the news. I mean, you can ask yourself, was it trustworthy? Was it influenced? Was it biased? But it came across at 6 o'clock or at 5 o'clock. Today, you're getting information, lots of information. I just don't know how legitimate a lot of that information is.
Well, we trusted the news because that's the only thing we heard, right?
You're absolutely right.
And honestly, you picked a station. I remember Chet and Nat. Mm-hmm. You know, remember Chet and Nat?
Right, right.
So Chet and Nat, with everybody believed everything they said. Not that they were lying to us necessarily. I honestly don't know how to evaluate that. They're the only people I watched.
Right, and that's where you got
your
information.
I did read newspapers, but again, that was even more of a lag.
But today we're popping open our phone and watching a ticker tape, basically. You know, you're watching whether it's CNBC or Bloomberg or whatever you use as your stock and news feed, and it's being peppered to you with notifications and headlines, and they're popping on your screen, and we're reacting to that. That creates this age of anxiety, and I believe we are living in a world of high anxiety right now, because it doesn't matter whether it's inflation, whether it's our president, whether it's gas prices, or whether it's the sale prices at Kohl's. It doesn't matter. Everything seems to create anxiety these days.
and you know what? COVID didn't help.
No, you're absolutely right.
So for the past couple of years, a lot of people have been confined to their homes at various times, or, you know, there's a certain level of lack of socialization. And I think that, you know, that has contributed to even more to being anxious because you have more time to think about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, we become so skeptical with everything. But then there are those, and this is the problem. You get those that will trust everyone and anything, or will fall for a story. And sadly, that has become the aging population here that really doesn't know how to deal with this interface of technology, and they get a phone call, they get an email, they get a text, and it worries them. And that is adding to the complexity and anxiety of the world today. And I think that's why when people look at what's going on in the market, they look at what's going on in the world, they get anxious and they worry, is this time different? Is this time different, Marion?
So, you know, we say this about every time, don't we? Or somebody says it about every single time.
Oh, but this time's really different.
Yeah. In the year 2000, in the spring of 2000, the market started to decline because all the tech stocks just fell apart. And, you know, this time was different, right? Same thing in 2007, 2008, when the housing market started to fall apart. And then, you know, the banks started to fail and all those issues. Well, this time was different. We were never going to recover. Or we weren't going to recover in people's lifetimes. Mm-hmm. You know, the older you get, the more you feel as if, well, you know what, I don't have that much longer to live. So, it will recover for my kids, but it's not going to recover for me.
Yeah.
That has never happened, right? It's always recovered in a record amount of time.
Exactly. I mean, I was on the phone with somebody this past week that says, Mark, he says, you know, I've only got 15 or 20 years of life left. He says, I don't know if we can recover.
Only.
Recover? I mean, really?
I know.
I mean, I just thought that was kind of an interesting perspective. You know, I've heard the expression, you know, Sonny, I don't buy green bananas anymore. Now, that means you're going to die tomorrow or the next day. No, we're living longer than ever before. Right. If you're 65 or 70 years old, you've probably got 20, 30 years of life left in you.
And our clients, when we say that, they look at us as if we have three heads.
Right.
Like, you're crazy. And then when they're 95, they look back and say, oh, gee, I never thought I was going to live that long. And we have plenty of clients that are in their 90s.
That's right. Now, I will admit, at 90 years old, are they spending the kind of money that they were spending in their 70s or 60s?
Usually not. But if they are, they're spending it very differently.
Yeah, a lot of it is that they're giving it to their kids or their grandkids or they're helping out.
Right. Or they might need help around the house.
Well, one of the things, talking about help around the house and giving money, is one of the challenges that we're seeing is that adult parents, those in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, are still giving both financially and emotional support to their children who have far larger earnings than they've ever had before. And those adult parents are feeling the pinch now because they're saying, not only am I spending money for myself, I'm giving money to my kids. And so I'm not going to stop giving money to my kids. I'll sacrifice part of my life. Is that how you're thinking? Is that what you're wondering? Is that going through your head? Are you worried about how will I spend my money as we move into retirement or in retirement? Will I use it for myself, for my children, for my grandchildren? How will I plan properly? And oh my goodness, with all of the stuff that's going on in the world, how do we structure our life so that we can sleep well at night and not worry about the peppering anxiety headlines that come sent to us? Well, we're going to discuss that and more in today's show. That's just an introduction for what you're in for today. But before we head off to our break, I want to remind each and every one of our listeners about our newsletter. We put it out every Friday. It's called Planning Pointers. We fill it with what we call financial advice in a language you can understand. I hope you'll sign up for it. Go to the bottom of any page on our website. Put in your name and your email address. Hit the send button. And every Friday, starting at 10:30 in the morning, you'll get that newsletter. And believe it or not, we started that newsletter in March of 2009. Do you remember that, Marion?
I do, because the market was just devastated.
Do you remember why we did that?
You know, we were having town halls with our clients to bring them in and to, you know, just to talk about what was going on, because there was so much uncertainty out there. And we decided we needed to reach out to the clients more.
Yeah.
And, you know, touch base with them every week. And that was a great way of doing it.
And the number one thing we were hearing, whether it was in the financial crisis of 08 or 09, whether it was during coronavirus or during any of these periods of time, clients of other financial advisors were saying, I've got to look for another financial advisor because I'm not hearing from my financial advisor. And we wanted to set a standard that said our clients and anybody else who wanted to listen to us could get information from us at least once a week, every Friday, 10:30 in the morning. If you'd like to be part of that 7,000 person subscriber list, give our go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name and your email address. You'll get on Planning Pointers. And if you stick around for a couple more minutes, we'll be back with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Good morning and welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante, where they have the best garlic bread. And speaking of garlic bread, one of the things that many people are noticing at restaurants these days, the free bread. Restaurants aren't bringing the free bread. And joining me in studio today is my business partner, Marion Gilman. Marion, what's with the free bread? Where'd it go?
Well, you know, I'm not really sure, but you talk to me. I mean, I am a huge bread person. None of this is gluten-free for me.
That's right. No.
And without
gluten,
the bread,
I know,
well, I could eat just bread all day. And sometimes some restaurants, and particularly the garlic bread downstairs, I could make a meal of that probably.
Well, that's one of the things is many restaurants are not providing the free bread at tables these days simply because they say it's just too expensive. Well, one place where you can get free bread at your table is the fabulous garlic bread at Daniela's Ristorante on 41 Cross Street. So don't miss that. In fact, we were talking to somebody who's a regular at Polcari's over Route 1.
Yes, that's right.
And a couple people had mentioned that they're not serving the bread anymore when they come to the table.
Well, and maybe they think you don't need it because you're getting pizza, but guess what? I mean,
I need
bread anyways,
look,
right?
When you guys, in fact, we were at the Cheesecake Factory this past week, and normally they just bring you bread.
Yeah.
They asked us this time,
yes,
would you like
I
us
know.
To bring you bread?
I
so
know.
They're asking because...
Granted, I never say no.
Oh, I wouldn't say no to that. Absolutely not. But one of the items that has certainly gone up in price these days is wheat and flour and all of those basic grains. But I thought it was interesting. A client called this past week and he says, Mark, he says, the sky is falling. I am absolutely Chicken Little. He says, when the second largest exporter of wheat says they're keeping the wheat for themselves and not exporting it, that being India, he said, I got to get out of this market. That's what he says to me. And I said, did you think you were ever getting any wheat or flour from India? It's not, I mean, they might be a big exporter, but I assure you, India is not exporting their wheat and flour to us. We have plenty of other places where we can get wheat and flour, don't you think?
Yeah, and I thought we grew a lot of our own as well, you know, in the Midwest,
yeah,
right?
So have you ever looked out the window when you're flying from Boston to California? There's a lot of squares and circles out there. Big squares and circles.
Sure.
So, yes, there are challenges in this country. There are challenges around the world. And right now, you're seeing some challenges in the stock market. But should you be concerned long term? And that's kind of what we're talking about today. What do you think, Marion?
You know, there are always challenges in life, right? Life is not a steady stream. No matter what aspect of life you're talking about, you hit challenges. I mean, you could have an illness in the family. You could lose a job. You know, the stock market going up and down is just another challenge as you go through life. You know, there are times, I mean, if you wanted to buy a car over this past year, you couldn't get one, right? Or you couldn't get one at a reasonable price.
So wait a second. So think about that. So because you couldn't get one, so what do you do? Do you buy the car anyways? Or do you say, maybe I'll hold on to this car a little bit longer?
Well, if you have a car that you can hold on to, I would say, you know, you personally, I'd say hold on to it a little bit longer. Why buy when there's no supply? Or, you know, nothing out there that you want. You can wait 3 months, 6 months, unless you can't. I mean, there are some people that just couldn't do that. Although, a lot of those people are people who had car leases. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have a car lease. It's going to be up this year. So when that car lease comes up for renewal, you have two choices. You can either get a new car or you buy out your old car. Well, from what I understand, if you bought out the old car, you could go down the street and sell it for more than
profit.
Turn around and get a $10,000 profit. But, you know, that's besides
but,
the point.
But to your point,
there are choices.
That's right. There are choices. And sometimes,
right.
sometimes, like as you've said before, we don't know what we don't know, and we don't even know what some of those choices are. Sometimes we are so traditionally locked into this is the way we do things. I mean, people will still today walk into a car dealership and the salesperson will say, well, this is what we can sell it for. It's like, oh, come on, go back to your manager and see what you can do to take that price down. That isn't an option anymore, people. But to go in with this elitist attitude to things, well, I can do that, you really can't because of the way that the structure of the system is. But there are other ways that perhaps you could get a better deal on a car. And just like you said, maybe it is buying out your lease, or maybe it is taking your car rather than trading it into the dealership, bringing your car down to a CarMax and say, what will you give me for my car? And take the check and perhaps be without a car for a day or two. Ooh. Go to a car dealership and buy it, and you'll actually have a little bit more money in your hand than what the trade-in value might have been for your car.
Sure.
The other option is, what about Uber?
That's
right. I mean,
right.
What about finding transportation alternatively? There's so many different choices out there, and frankly, that's what technology has given us, has been choices.
And, you know, that's, I will say that there are a lot of people that I have mentioned that to. Uber, taking Ubers, taking taxis, getting rid of their cars. Because, again, as you get older, sometimes you just don't drive that much. And so maybe you drive once a week. Or maybe you live somewhere where you have, you know, transportation available to you. If you're driving once a week, it might not make sense to own a car, pay the insurance on that car, the upkeep, the maintenance, the gas prices, all of that. For what? To drive it once a week? It might be well worth your while to say, you know what, I'm giving up this car. I'm not going to pay for it anymore. And I'm going to take that money and use it to, you know, Uber around town or Lyft or, you know, take taxis or whatever it might be. You can get somebody to drive you around, number one, and you know, you don't have to worry about the car anymore.
Right.
You don't have to shovel it, you know, in the snow, none of that.
And
not a bad idea.
And it's funny, when you think about it rationally, if you'd say, oh my God, why wouldn't I do that? But then actually do it.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is the younger population will do it in a second.
Oh, yes.
Many of that younger population, look, my daughter Mindy, she, you know, buys a place in South Boston. She has a car. She has a car, but it barely leaves the garage because she would much rather Uber,
right,
and get rides from place to place than drive herself, pay for parking, looking for parking.
Yeah.
And she gets picked up at her front door, dropped off at the front door location. And it's a trend, but certain segments of our population, certainly from an age demographic, have different opinions about taking that kind of transportation because they think, ooh, taxis?
Yeah.
Can I trust the person? Is it going to smell like an ashtray in their car? Or is it going to be gross? You know, it could, but Uber standards, and I'm picking on using Uber, it could be Lyft, it could be anybody here.
Sure.
These are some options that are very, very real possibilities.
My son as well, he'd love to get rid of his car and just take Ubers or Lyfts or whatever it might be. You know, it's unfortunate he really can't at this point in time, mm-hmm, simply because of, you know, well, actually, I'll tell you, he'd never see us. He'd never be able to come to my house because we're kind of far. He's not going to want to pay an Uber every time he comes. So I told him he had to keep his car.
But what I think is fascinating is that people that will pay, what's the name of the bus or the van that comes out of Lynn? That goes around and picks up people.
They'll
take you to
GLIS.
Doctors.
It's the
GLIS bus,
it's
right?
GLIS,
the Greater Lawrence Senior Services.
Greater
or something.
Lynn Senior
Greater
Services.
Greater Lynn Services, right?
Yes.
But there's a few of these, and people will say, "All right, well, I'll call GLIS. It's only $1 or $2. They'll pick me up, and you will spend the day on the GLIS bus,
right,
driving people around to doctors. Ultimately, they'll get to your doctor's office. And then you sit and you wait 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 for the GLIS bus to show up. And then you drive around so everybody can shuttle you home. Is that how you want to spend your day?
Well, some people do.
That's right. Some people do.
It could be a social event too.
Absolutely.
Right? And, you know, if you're an older person and you don't get out much and you don't have a lot going on that day, it might be perfectly fine for you.
But what I'm saying is that they
do
feel...
Do we want to?
No, I don't want to. But what amazes me is how many people have such confidence in the safety of the Gliss bus over the convenience of an Uber or a Lyft or a taxi even.
Sure. Well, you know, I think it's habit and what you get used to. You know, if you're not used to taking taxis or Ubers, it's a new phenomenon. So it's something different and it takes a while to get used to it.
Yeah. And so we're sitting here trying to talk about some of the dynamics that are going on in the world as we look at a stock market and economic situation that's fragile right now. I don't want to say it's breaking because I don't think it is. I think it's just fragile. Because there are many people that are doing very well in this environment.
Oh, most definitely.
But there are several people, a large portion, that are struggling right now because they live on that tight budget. They live, you know, day to day, dollar to dollar. And all of a sudden they see the cost of goods at the supermarket, at the gas prices going up, and they have to rethink their budget. I think the ones that really need the help are the ones that are stuck in the middle, who seem to think that... If I go to work for a startup company and I can make the kind of money that I heard my friend made, or this guy made this, or I get stock in this company, that's what it's all about. To me, what we're seeing right now is that is fantasy. And the fantasy is being exposed right now, isn't it?
Well, yes. And to go back to your example of how, let's say, an Uber or Lyft has changed life for many younger people in particular, and even, you know, middle-aged people who are willing to make that switch. Technology changed our lives dramatically, or I should say accelerated changing our lives during COVID. And people saw what you could do with Zoom, where you could socialize over Zoom. People became very dependent on a lot of the services, you know, the delivery services, whether it was food delivery services from grocery shopping, restaurant ordering via, you know, technology. So all of those technology companies boomed during COVID over the past couple of years. And now you got to remember what we're seeing is all of this sort of goes in waves. And to go back to your thought of startups, there were a lot of tech companies that started up during that time frame. And there was a lot of money that got invested in those companies over the past 2 years because, first of all, people weren't spending their money. So they had, you know, they had more money to invest in the market. And so a lot of money went into these technology companies. And you saw technology companies starting up that weren't making a profit, that cost a lot of money, that kept needing inflows of money. And all of a sudden now we're seeing a bit of a switch. And this is what's happening in the market. When you see the tech stocks are way down, you know, they've declined precipitously over the course of the year.
As evidenced by the NASDAQ.
That's exactly right. That's where you see it. When you look at the Dow Jones Index or the S&P 500 Index, those indices are not down nearly as much as the NASDAQ. So, you know, the dream of the startup is great, but those companies are going to really struggle to get the money they need to keep going. And I think a lot of the people who thought, oh, well, this is going to be my silver bullet, might be very disappointed.
I think you're absolutely right. It's a harsh learning experience.
It really is.
And I actually think the next harsh learning experience is for those that might start to lose their jobs and realize that they don't have employment and now they want to sell their house. And I have a feeling in the next year or two, well, I'll tell you what I have a feeling is going to happen in the next year or two when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents'. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC.
Money, 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 money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, and I'm in the studio joined by my business partner, Marion Gilman. Good morning, Marion.
How are you today, Mark?
I'm doing great.
Bright and early.
It is. We're talking about some of this wild stuff that we're seeing in the markets. A lot of uncertainty right now. Are we optimistic for the future? Absolutely. But
always.
We have always been, but We're trying to be rational and reasonable during some of these emotional times right now. And one of the things that we left our listeners with the last time was many people who have joined these startups with hopes and dreams of being the next Elon Musk or the next person that they know that was given stock options and made so much. Well, you know, a lot of these startups that people want to invest in that are based on an idea. A lot of these startups are based on an idea, and I've always been a big believer that hope is not a strategy. And some of these people can sell quite a bit, and if you can convince a private equity firm or equity firms to put up some money to support your hope and your dream, they have the resources to lose the money. But do you as an individual have the resources to commit to the hope? And sometimes that hope comes with the hope of prospects of money, but it also means you could get nothing. And with what's going on in the market right now, you're going to start to see, I believe, a lot of these small startups just run out of money, what they say, burn through cash.
They certainly will. I totally agree with you. And what typically happens is the backers of these companies, you know, when times are flush and there's a lot of money around, they can give these startups more money, and they have a vested interest in them already, so they'll put more money into them and keep them going. But in times when money gets tight, and right now you're going to see money get a lot tighter, there isn't going to be that much liquidity there to say, oh yeah, we're going to throw good money after bad, maybe this company isn't making a profit, but we'll keep it going anyways until it does. It might never make a profit.
Right.
And you're not going to see that kind of investment, I don't think.
I'll be straight. Private equity doesn't care about your family.
For sure. Absolutely
right?
Not.
Private equity,
it's a business.
Private equity cares about making money. And if they aren't making money, they will just stop giving money.
That's right.
But what's happening is that there's a lot of young folks who believe that they've come up with the next new app, the next technology product, the next solution to save the world. And it's being backed by private equity right now. And then private equity says, you know what, there's a new shiny object down the street that I think could make us even more money, and they stop giving it. And what happens is those folks in these startup firms, or that are getting paid a decent amount of money to run these startup firms to start, all of a sudden their funding is gone. They've bought these McMansion houses, and now they realize, oh, I might need to find a real job, and that real job isn't paying a high or mid six-figure income. It could be paying a five-figure income in many cases.
Sure.
And they realize, goodness, I can't afford to live in this house anymore. And with interest rates where they are today, as opposed to where they were just a few years ago, or actually even
last year,
the likelihood of home prices growing at the trajectory that they've grown at is waning. And I think you're going to find yourselves in a situation similar to 08 and 09, not because of a financial crisis, not because of bad debt, simply because people aren't willing to pay as much for a house anymore. And you're going to have to take some losses on your house, because many people who bought some of these big houses, especially the young folks, they said, well, I'll put down 5% or I'll put down 10%. and you think you've seen changes go on in your investment portfolio, this is going to be the reality check for that young population who was building their strategy on hope. And I know, I know, Marion, you know how I feel about hope being a strategy, but what advice would you give to these folks?
Yeah, well, you know, the same as you, Mark. I mean, I would absolutely encourage everybody to live well within their means and don't, and take everything with a grain of salt. You know, there are a lot of startups that have done phenomenally well, and that will continue to happen as well. But, you know, when you look at these private equity firms that are investing in startups, they expect that there will be a couple of firms, let's say out of 10 firms that they invest in, two might do really well. There might be four that do, you know, three or four that do okay.
Break even, yeah.
And then the rest, you know, will be gone. And,
right.
And they know that. That is how they will run their business. They make their money from the one to two that are spectacular successes, and they expect to have failures. An individual can't do that, as you pointed out. So don't pin all of your hopes, and don't look at, let's say, I have stock options, and those stock options are worth, you know, millions of dollars. And don't count that money before you actually have it in your hand.
Absolutely.
Need to be very careful about that. Don't spend at the level that you think you're going to be able to spend. Spend at the level of what your actual income is in your pocket.
Yeah, you know, money used to be one of these taboo conversations years ago. You know,
sure.
You would never ask mom or dad how much money they made.
Never.
Or you never even discussed how much you made, what you had, anything. But what we're seeing now is that the parents are so proud or excited about their children working for this next startup or technology company and the prospect of what they'll earn. And they say, oh, they've been given 100,000 shares of this company that might be worth nothing, that it might have a value of 3 cents, but they've got 100,000 shares. It sounds impressive. Oh, they've given them the title of senior vice president. But right now, they're not making any money. They're just working a lot of hours. So mom and dad say, well, we'll help out. We'll watch the kids. We'll give you money towards a house. We'll give you this or help you with this expense, because they have hope that the kids will hit all of these goals, and they certainly don't want to squash their dreams and give them the reality check that not this all doesn't work out. Well, I think we need to have those better conversations with our children, and you as adults or parents, grandparents, need to be asking yourself, what is it that I need in my retirement, and what can I afford to perhaps use to help support my children without sacrificing what I need in retirement?
Well, I think there's another aspect to that as well, Mark, and that is, are you really doing a service to your children, or are you doing them a disservice? Because honestly, they get used to a particular lifestyle because you're supplementing their income. And if they can't afford to do that throughout their lives, they are going to struggle. And we've seen that with many of our clients, where they've supported their children up to such a point, and there might be an inheritance there, but it's not enough to support those children in the lifestyle they had when their parents were actually giving them money every year. And that's a huge disservice to the children.
Absolutely.
As well.
And many of these kids are, they're working so many hours. But remember, working so many hours also includes going out for drinks afterwards and all the other things that they do that they don't know how to adult.
And I've heard that term.
Right, we've heard the term adulting,
yeah.
Right? They don't know what it means to weed the beds, to shovel the front walk, to change a hose in the backyard, to bring the trash out, to make the beds, to clean the toilets, to do any of that stuff. Stuff that you and I grew up with, which was, you know, part of our responsibilities. We all pitched in.
Sure.
And so, but with that, this new generation has said, you know what? I don't need to cook anymore because I have DoorDash. I can
right?
have Uber Eats. I can have somebody, I can actually put it in on my app and have someone deliver my food from Whole Foods or Stop and Shop. And I don't have to do any of that stuff. They don't even know how to pick out a good orange, you know, or decide what is a good cantaloupe. Do they even know that you
right.
shake the cantaloupe or whatever? No. They don't know any of this stuff. And so, but they're willing to pay a premium for the services.
Convenience.
Right. And I think that has become the greatest disservice. Look how popular the coffee companies have become. You know, we used to have, everyone had Mr. Coffee, right? Joe DiMaggio was there with his Mr. Coffee. You know how to make a coffee and you do that. Now the lines at Starbucks or at Dunkin' Donuts or wherever you want to go are crazy busy and you have to get a latte now. And if they don't give you the right amount of foam or the right amount of milk or cinnamon or whatever it is, I can't have this. Give it back. And it's the Kim Kardashian attitude that these people seem to have. They have to realize that this is where you cut back. This is where you have to save some money and do some things on your own.
So you mean that $6 a day coffee habit is not a need? You don't have to do that?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. Oh, yeah, okay. But good question, though, Mary. And it drives me nuts because, as you well know, I do go for coffee, right? I will go to Starbucks and I will go to Dunkin' Donuts. But I am the...
We all do.
We all do. But I am a black coffee guy.
Me too.
These people that just do all these, what I call them, the foofy drinks. And the thing is, you say to somebody, hey, I'm running to Dunkin's or I'm running to Starbucks. Does anybody want anything? And all of a sudden, all these people start texting you all their orders. They're not paying you. You're now stuck for a $20, $25 coffee run. That's part of the problem. The other part of the problem is many people who are working for these small companies now have an expense account. And they don't think about what they would have to pay out of their own pocket had they have to do it. They wouldn't do it if they were paying out of their own pocket, but the expense account, hey, I got the expense account. You wonder why these companies are losing money, because everybody wants extra legroom seats. Everybody wants to eat at the fancy steakhouses. No one wants to stay at a Courtyard. They want to stay at a Ritz, or they want to stay at a higher end place.
And there are no controls on that.
None.
That's the bigger mistake, I think, within the companies, that they don't put those controls on it. Some companies do, but some, it's unlimited. There are a lot of companies, a lot of tech companies now, that also provide service, lunch, dinner, breakfast to the employees at work.
Right.
Of course, there's a benefit to that. And you never leave.
That's right. You never leave.
They get more work out of you.
And there is a benefit to the company because, they're with them providing this food, they're providing it at a low cost, and that's all worked into their budget.
Sure.
But what is it doing to the individual? What do we know how to do? What do our 20 and 30-year-old kids know how to do? You get pulled over to this, you pop a tire. What 20-year-old kid knows how to change a tire? I call AAA. Actually, no, they don't call AAA anymore. What do they do?
Call the parents.
They call mom and dad. And mom and dad take care of it. You just sit there. I'll send somebody. So,
you're so right.
But so with this volatility that's going on in the market, and we're seeing our stock prices and bond prices and inflation and interest rates, all this stuff fluctuating, this is a fragile situation. The stock market will work itself out. I think the issues we just talked about are the issues that we really, really need to work out. But do we have the patience, the time, the energy, the sanity to do it?
Well, it's a lot harder than watching the stock market work itself out,
because,
right?
You know what? It's a lot easier to blame it on something you can't control.
That's
what people are doing. They're blaming their problems on things they can't control.
And you can't control the market.
Nor inflation, nor interest rates.
That's very true.
But when we get back, well, let's see if we can talk about things you can control. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It's our last and final segment of the day. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, and I'm joined by my business partner, Marion Gilman, in studio again as we talk about the markets. Things you can control, things you can't control, and everything in between. We call it financial advice in a language you can understand. Welcome, Marion.
How are you today?
How are you feeling after these first three segments?
Oh, excellent. Always.
Oh, good.
It's a great day.
So you need to understand, when Marion and I do these radio shows, we come with a blank piece of paper. Is that not true?
That's very true.
And we have no idea what we're going to say.
We talk about this all week.
Right.
And we've been doing it, well, me 22 years, you
30 some odd years, but
yeah, you're so much older than me.
Yeah, that's it. But I mean, well, you've been doing it in just not 22 years here, but you
that's correct.
You've been in the
yes.
industry for, right. Doing other things as well.
Yes, I am the older one, I'll admit it.
Just by a day or two. Hey, you got a birthday coming up, don't you, in June?
Don't tell anyone.
Well, mine was 2 weeks ago, so
yeah,
I'm May, you're June.
I try to forget them now.
So what we're trying to do here when we sit here doing this radio show is kind of sit around and share the conversation that Marion and I talk about when we're out for lunch or just sitting around in the office, because this is the real conversation. This is not a canned presentation. It isn't something that someone says, you must say this. We want to give you the same kind of advice that we're delivering to our clients, to the individuals that we talk to. And just so you know, yeah, we serve more than 520-530 households. We've been doing this since 1968 when my father started the firm. Our clients primarily live here on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, the southern New Hampshire area. They are generally 50 plus years old, 50 to 100. I mean, they're that kind of range.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Generally, we're not a good fit for a 20-year-old, 30-year-old, 40-year-old, probably because, you know, I have no patience. But
well, you know what? I would say that we're not a good fit because they don't have the advanced planning needs, typically, that an older person, somebody in the 40-plus range does. What a 20, 30, 40-year-old needs to do is save as much money as they possibly can.
Plain and simple. Whether you do it in your 401k, in a Roth 401k, saving it in your bank account, I don't care. Just save money.
Yeah.
How much should I save?
That's right.
You save what you can.
Right. So that's why we're a better fit for the 40 plus.
Well, I'll even say 50 plus. People that are considering retirement, exploring what the future of retirement might look like, that are in retirement,
yes.
that are experiencing an inheritance from a family member who's just passed away, someone that is experiencing being squeezed. We call it the sandwich generation. People being squeezed by having to pay for their kids' education while caring for their parents as well. Now, oftentimes, they're responsible for their parents' financial situation, and their situation looks far different from what their situation looks like.
That's right.
So there's a lot of questions, a lot of wonderings. When do I take Social Security? Should I take this job? Should I buy a second house? Should I buy a boat? Should I refinance? Should I buy or lease my car? Should I buy life insurance? All different types of things that they're talking about. What's the right tax withholding to take when I buy or sell things? So many different variables. And what you and I do really, really well, and that's what our clients tell us, is we've always looked at our client situation at the 30,000 foot level, the big picture. It's not about, should I own this stock or sell that investment?
Right.
We'll get there. But you don't decide, you don't start from the bottom there. You start from you don't start from the granular stuff. You start from the big picture stuff. And if you're not willing to allow us to understand the cornerstones of your financial life, it's very difficult to provide honest financial planning that can lead you towards potential success.
Most definitely. And one of the other things we pride ourselves on is that we get to know our clients. This is not a canned presentation, a one-size-fits-all firm. We look at each client individually. What works for some people just doesn't work for other people. So we try to get to know you and your specific needs. What's important to you? What are your goals? And they are not the same for everyone. So we fit that into your plan.
Yeah, I find it interesting that goals aren't what your coworkers' goals are. Goals aren't
exactly.
even what your siblings' goals are. Every sibling in the family might have different goals. Your parents have different goals. You and your spouse might even have different goals.
Yes, most definitely. I mean, we see the whole range of different types of people. We don't focus exclusively on high net worth. We certainly don't. You know, that's not the bulk of our business. The bulk of our clients are, you know, the mass affluent, the people who are right in the middle, just like you and I, you know, the average person that lives next door to you.
Yeah.
And they just don't have the same goals.
Yeah.
They all don't want to do the same thing.
Look, a good client.
I love to travel.
And I love to eat out. Well, so do you. And, you know,
yeah.
we like to travel.
I mean, we like to do some of the similar stuff. But, you know, Mark loves to go to the Celtics games.
And I love to go to Disney. But you wouldn't find yourself dead at Disney,
yeah.
would you?
Well, maybe for a day. Not every year and for a week. Right?
I go every year for at least a week.
Yeah,
I mean,
there
you go.
We're
all different. But, you know, the thing is I think sometimes when you ask people to talk about what their goals are, you're asking them to commit to something that's not changeable.
Yeah, that maybe that's true. Yeah, I never thought of it that way.
You know, they say, well, what's your goal? Well, I want to retire at 65. And I'll say, well, what does retirement look like? Because when someone says, I want to retire at 65, does that mean you're done working, hopping on a rocking chair and knitting an afghan and drinking iced tea on the front porch? Or at 65, I don't want to work for the company I'm at right now. Maybe I'd like to do something different, go into a different field,
right?
Work 20 hours a week. Maybe I want to volunteer. Maybe I just want to bag groceries at Market Basket.
Sure.
Whatever it is. But we need to try to help you understand that a goal is not a one size fits all, but not a one action item either. It's a collection of stuff. And we always realize that that goal changes, and it's okay to change it.
It should change. It
absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, the past 2 years have derailed everybody's goals. You know, many people have rethought what they want to do with their lives over the past 2 years, or what their goals actually are. But you know, one of the things that we try to do as well is to look at, you know, again, match people's financial situation so that they can achieve those goals. And when we do that, we do have to take into consideration what's going on in the investing arena, what's going on in the stock market, what's going on in the bond market. But we don't look at it over 1 month, one quarter, 1 year. We look at it over a long-term horizon, and that's how you have to look at it as well. It's extremely important to say, okay, I might have these goals. These goals might be 5 years in the future, 10 years in the future, 20 years in the future. I got to plan for all of it. I'm not planning for tomorrow. I'm planning for my life.
Yeah, I oftentimes ask people, when you look back 10 years ago in your life, are you doing exactly what you imagined you were going to be doing 10 years ago?
Not at all. How about you?
No, not at all. I mean, there's so many things that change.
Yes.
So you can set some goals, but those goals can't have guardrails on them that don't allow you to see beyond the periphery of everything else.
Sure.
Things will change. Your children will get married, or there'll be a graduation, or there'll be a sudden death, or there'll be a divorce, or you'll have a new job, or your house will burn down. I'm throwing anything as possible, right?
Exactly.
We can plan for all sorts of things, but we have to control what we can control. And controlling is the tough part of this whole thing. And here's what you can control. You can save. You can buy the proper insurance to protect your family, your home, your automobile, your life. You can prepare for your future by putting money into your 401k plan. You can manage and minimize the way you spend money on food, on consumer goods like clothing. You know, you can wear that blouse or that pair of pants or that skirt an extra time. You don't have to run to the dry cleaner every time you wear something. I mean, there's lots of things that you can do to save it. And they can go on and on and on and on and on and on. But you have to figure out what makes sense. What is my want? What is my need? That's what it comes down to. But the one thing that I always find that's a challenge is because the market had been doing so well for so many years, people wanted to put their money that they had saved into the stock market or into investments with hopes that it would grow greater. And it was the one thing that we've always told our clients, that your investment account is not your emergency fund, is it?
That is so very true. And that is something you can control, you know, to go back to it. So you have a pool of money. You need an emergency fund. That is absolutely the most important thing. 3 to 6 months living expenses should be in the bank for any emergency. That's the first thing you do.
And if it's not there, stop saving. Stop saving in investments.
Meaning stop saving into your 401k or I shouldn't say until you want to get the match, but stop saving into long-term stock investments. Put money in the bank. That is very, very important. First thing you do.
Yeah, and just like a diet where you say, all right, I'm going to start this, and you do it for a week
tomorrow, or
two, and you're feeling really good about it. This is planning for your life.
Yes.
This is, I don't care where you're fat, skinny, short, tall, doesn't really matter. You need this money because no matter your shape, your size, your color, your ethnic background, your sexual preference, whatever it is, you are going to need money to support your life.
And you know what? If you take your $10,000 emergency fund and put it into a tech stock that's now down 50%, and that's $5,000, you're out of luck if you have a $10,000 emergency.
That's right.
Don't do it.
Do not do it unless you're willing to say, you know what? It's on paper. And that's where we are, folks, right now. The market is down. Market is down on paper. Markets do go down. If you're invested in individual stocks and those stocks are down, you may want to reevaluate what is the prospect of this stock for the future. Is it all based on hope? Is there a strategy in place? If you're invested in a mutual fund, an exchange-traded fund, an index fund, a bond fund, whatever it might be, just know that there is a strategy in place because a professional money manager is putting together this portfolio for you.
And has a strategy and is diversified.
Yeah. You'll be fine. Just relax.
Wait it out.
But if you need to talk to somebody, we're here. Feel free to give us a call. Schedule your free initial consultation. Phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. You want to learn a little bit more about the firm, go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. And if you'd like to get our newsletter, go to the bottom of the page, put in your name, your email address, and you will get planning pointers, financial advice in a language you can understand each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. That's it for us. We're going to turn the microphone over to Scott Whitley and Wicked Bites Radio. Have a great day, everybody, and enjoy this nice warm weather today. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning in to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planning planner, tax professional, or attorney prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC.
Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.